Let's go ahead and pray. Just invite the Lord into our presence and just that we would hear from him. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your daughters, Lord. We just pray that you would just be in our midst this evening, Lord. We really don't want to hear from anybody except you. We really don't want to hear anything except what your word is the foundation of, Lord. So we just thank you. We thank you for your presence, for your protection, for discernment and wisdom, God. We just pray that you would just anoint me this evening. Help me to speak your word, to get out of the way. And just, I just ask you, just really bless us, bless our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So tonight our lesson is called Submitted to a Kingdom. And last year, I believe it was in the first half of the year, Carla, our senior pastor's wife, taught a series on the authority of God. It was very good, very rich. And so I just want to read to you basically what the dictionary would say authority is. So it says privilege, force, capacity, delegated influence, jurisdiction, permission, physical or mental power or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises, power of choice, the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed, the power of authority. That's authority. Strong, it's powerful, it's in charge, it makes the choices. But submission is the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another. So that authority we heard about, submission is yielding to that, whatever that authority is. Another word for that could be subjection. So I do want to recap a little bit from last week, just talking about Eve and the creation of women. So if you want to go to Genesis 2, verse 20, we're just going to look at those verses again real quick. We're looking at verses 20 to 23. So God's already made man. He made him out of the dust of the earth. And he gave him a job to do. In verse 18, he says, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. We talked about that a lot last week, about what a helper is and the meaning of helper and God our helper and the Holy Spirit our helper and women as a helper and what that could look like. And then in verse 20, again, it says, the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. At last, there's someone like me, someone I can relate to. It was perfect. It was orderly. It was the way God had designed it to be. A woman for man, a helper fit for him. She was made in support of him. And we know the story, Genesis 3, verse 6. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, delightful to the eyes, and good for wisdom, she chose to step outside of God's direction and provision and rely on herself. Instead, it says she saw it was good for food. It was a delight. It was to be desired. She took of it. She ate. And then she also gave to her husband. She decided, I think this looks good, and I want it. And I know what I have been made for. I know the order that was given to me. I know God said, don't touch the tree. I know God said that I was made for the man. But I have decided to go ahead and make this choice and my own moves, despite the things that have been laid out before me and the order that was given to me. She established herself in that moment as the supreme authority. She decided, I'm going to choose my own way and go against what has been put in place. And then we know what happened after that. The curse came. Genesis 3:16, he said, God says, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. So rather than come alongside her husband as his ally or his counterpart, as his easer, as we talked about last week, her desire was, it said, would be contrary to her husband. Basically, it would be for his authority. She was going to be, or she either wanted his authority, or what she wanted would be contrary to what he had said it would be. And this same word, desire, that she was, that the curse said in verse 16 about the woman, that same word is used in Genesis 4, verse 7, when the Lord warns Cain, and he says, sin crouches at the door, and its desire is for you. And so that's the same word, and it's the idea that she was going to desire in a sinful way to control and dominate her husband. She was going to struggle with that relationship. Genesis 3:17, you know, God's reprimanding Adam and telling him his part of the curse. And he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. You know, and you could read that and be a little offended, you know, if you didn't really take it in perspective, like, oh, well, we don't have a voice, you know, in any such situation. But that's not what it's saying. It's not that a woman doesn't have a voice, but it's when she uses that voice to take charge of and push past authority that has been set around her. It's when she uses her voice to be unsubmissive. Doesn't mean you don't have a voice. It doesn't mean you can't give good, godly, respectful counsel. Doesn't mean you can't give good, godly, respectful challenges and even reprimand at times. But there's a big difference between using your voice and being led by the Spirit and using your voice and just honestly being led by the devil and your flesh, you know, and trying to take control and come against that order. And that's what Eve had done, and that's what Adam had listened to and submitted himself to. So, what is submission? I know we read a little description of it there, but we're just going to talk about that. What is submission? So, as women, you know, there is a place of submission we're called to, but submission, it's not a woman's word, and this definitely came... All this whole series has come from my journey. You know, it's all of it has come from my asking questions, and I don't necessarily say it with pride, but and Andrew would be the first one to agree with me that I generally tend to like want to know like how close to the line can I get? Like I don't want to just be boxed in. It's part of my nature. The Lord has sanctified and is sanctifying, but I want to go right up to where it's allowable. Like I don't want to be restrained. I want to know what do I have liberty to be and do, and all of that obviously came with some questions and struggles and just my own misunderstanding of what these things were, what it was to be a helper, what it was to be submissive, a misunderstanding of what that meant. So let me just read this quote to you. Submission has nothing to do with equality. Men and women are equal, but we have been assigned different roles. Neither role is superior. The Trinity models this concept. The persons in the Godhead are equal in power and in substance, but each has a different function. You know, that is, you could liken that to marriage. You know, we're not, and I don't necessarily say a man and woman are like the Trinity, but in the same way that they function and do different roles, so does a man and a woman in a marriage setting. But submission isn't just restricted to marriage. It's not just a marriage concept. It's just anybody over you, any kind of authority. We can struggle with submission in any context, just anybody that's over us, especially if you don't agree with their methods or you don't like their personality, you know, maybe the background they come from, whatever it is, there could be a thousand reasons. But it is submission as a word, it is one that makes us prickle. And I think especially in the church world and with the rampant loud voices in the earth today, the idea of submission is wrongly presumed to be a weak thing, a restrictive thing, a binding thing, even abusive, you know, and it's really a total misunderstanding of what submission is. But why would we struggle with submission? I think just frankly our own defiance and our rebellion. It could be to do with past abuse and mistrust. or just pride, you know, and again, just a lack of understanding really what submission is. But when you understand what submission is, it is a beautiful thing. And I think when you understand the context, especially as a Christian and a woman, that you are submitting, who you are ultimately submitting to, it's no longer fearful, and it can be a very powerful thing. To submit is a very powerful act. So we're going to talk about that just for a minute, how powerful submission can be. So within marriage, you know, we submit to our husbands. That is the order of God. He leads the house. We walk alongside him, but ultimately we submit to that rule. That order was God-given, and it brings strength to a perfect system. It brings unity. It enables a marriage to function as it should. It enables a family to be brought up in order. It enables children to see what it is both to lead and to submit, which is necessary for every human being. You know, submission within the order of the church, you know, we submit to leadership. We submit to the framework that God has put in place within a church. And there is one. There is a framework for the Christian church. There is an order. You know, it's not just, we can't just have a gathering and call it a church. God ordains people. He puts them in place. He calls them to those places. And there is an order. You know, we can see it a lot in the New Testament. Read Ephesians. And within the church, there is a submission to the different parts of the body. You submit to the part of the body you've been called to be. You know, just because I think it looks so great to be a leg, if I've been called to be an ear, I need to submit to that and walk in that, because that's going to bring health, that's going to bring strength, that's going to bring that completeness to the body. Being where you are called to be and submitting to that, it enables the church to function as a holy body, and no part disregarding another. We submit to the Bible. We submit to biblical instruction. The Bible tells us how to function in the gifts of the Spirit, how to handle offense and disagreements, how to take communion, how to leave a church, how to start a church, how to lead a church, how to get a divorce, when and if you could remarry. There's so much that we refer to in the Bible that leads and guides our life, you know, that we submit to. And even just in general, you know, within the sexes, you know, we do treat men with respect. You know, there is a way that we treat men that we don't treat women that way. You know, there is a way that we dress to be respectful to a man. You know, it's not just necessarily, oh, men are so corrupt, they have this issue. Sometimes maybe it's the way we dress, you know. Maybe we're not actually being a good sister in Christ in that regard, you know. But there's a submission to God's order in that way. You know, it doesn't mean to say women are lesser. God calls women to be leaders, to be speakers. Women can be loud. They can be extroverts. They can be deacons and administrators, writers, prophets. You know, they have access to every spiritual gift. You know, there's great freedom in the Bible and within the New Testament. There's so many wonderful examples of godly women used by the Lord. Jesus himself was very countercultural when he walked on earth. He had his disciples, but there were women that followed along and went on his journeys with him, which was really, in that day and age, was like unheard of, you know, like women having a, you know, a chance to follow and learn from a teacher, you know, was just unheard of. But Jesus was like, of course, you know, like these are my sons, these are my daughters, you know, whoever follows me is my mother, brother, sister, you know, et cetera. So Jesus is all about unity, you know, but it is so essential to walk in submission in all the contexts that life gives to you, because it just enables everything to work. It enables your marriage to work. It enables every relationship to work. It enables the church to work. And just true submission that understands the character of God, that understands what it means to submit, doesn't get bogged down with position. In Philippians 2, verse 3, in the ESV, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." And we could probably just end it there, and be like, well, I fail, you know. And that on its own would probably just encourage maybe your attitude at times in certain contexts of submitting to authority, submitting to circumstances, submitting to people in particular. But I want to talk about a few examples in the Bible, and these are several Bible stories. I'm not going to go through every detail. I will give you the scripture references so you can go read them afterwards and just be encouraged. But I just want to talk about some women that were submissive in the Bible. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say this first one because I feel like I mention JL like almost every time I speak somewhere. But JL is my first one, and she is kind of my favorite. And some of you may know this story, some of you may not. She was in the book of Judges. She had a husband who really wasn't following the people of God. He removed himself from their vicinity. He was in league with the enemy, and she went with him, and she was in her tent, and she had been doing her chores and milked the cow and just obviously had a heart for God and the people of God, because when given the opportunity, the leader of the enemy's army came, and he had a friendship with her husband, and so he came along, and she slew him with a tent peg through his skull while he was sleeping. So she was a very fiery character, and didn't waste any time to do what she could to glorify God. But it's a beautiful picture of submission, because frankly, she could have been really frustrated. She clearly loved God. She clearly loved his people. She clearly was not in league with the enemy, but she took that opportunity. But if she hadn't have been where she had been placed, if she hadn't have been submissive to the order, submissive to her husband, if she hadn't have milked the cow, you know, and just done the things, she couldn't have told him, hey, come on in here, let me give you some milk, lay down under this blanket, just, yeah, you go to sleep, take a rest. And you know the rest of the story. So Abigail is another lady who had another really difficult husband. His name was Nabal, and his name meant foolish. And basically, this is back in 1 Samuel 25, verses 3 to 42, just in case you're going to look this up. But basically, David had been nice to Nabal. He, like, protected his shepherds and things like this. And David basically was asking Nabal for help and for some provisions, and Nabal was extremely rude to David. David was a warrior, you know, and which was just kind of foolish in and of itself, you know, like, yeah, you should probably give the soldier and his army, you know, some provisions if he's asking. But he didn't. He was very insulting, and Abigail knew what was going on, and David was wrathful, and he was about to go and kill Nabal and really just murder him. Like, David was anointed by God to slay the enemy. You know, he was a killer, but he was doing it under the calling of God. But this made David sinfully murderous, and he was just going to go murder this guy, you know, that had insulted him. Abigail comes up on the scene. She gathers provisions. She takes of her own things. She goes to David. She's like, please have mercy. Here's a lot of nice, wonderful things and foods, and has a whole list, and, you know, and he is appeased. You know, David's like, okay. She prevented him from his murderous rage. What an easer, honestly. What an easer to a husband who was very foolish, you know. But she again supported that order. She respected, she submitted to that order. And God stepped in. You know, David didn't have to handle it. Nabal actually ended up dying very shortly after. And Abigail then was able to marry the future king. So it all really turned out very well for her, but she submitted first. And I just thought that was a wonderful picture. I think it's important to remember, and I mean, I feel like I've already said it in a couple of different ways, but, you know, usually it's hard to submit when the person or circumstance or organization or whatever it is difficult to submit to. You know, that's when it's hard. But it's important to remember that the commander and ultimate authority over your life aren't those people. You know, it's not that person. Like, ultimately, it's the Lord that has control of your life, ultimately it's him that you are submitting to. So if there's an order he set in place, or there's a character that he wants you to have in the way that you live, you just submit to that. Other people will be flawed. Other people will make mistakes. Other people won't lead perfectly. And frankly, you won't either. You know, there's going to be plenty of times when you're in some kind of a leadership position, or you're in control of something, and you're going to make mistakes. And let's look at our leaders and those who are over us, no matter who they are, with that the same grace we would want to have, you know, because none of us are perfect. But when we realize that, when we realize no matter what somebody else is when they're over me, no matter how difficult I might find it to submit to them, they are not the ultimate authority over my life. You know, just because they say, I don't see this in your life, or this is not going to take place, or, you know, you might have dreams or visions or desires. You know, at the end of the day, your fight is not with flesh and blood, and your battle belongs to the Lord. He's going to handle your situations. Esther was another wonderful woman, submissive to Mordecai's encouragements and God's call. You know, she risked her life going into the king. I know we know the story, but she risked her life going in. And this was a king who had, just before her, banished his wife for being unsubmissive. He had banished her for being for embarrassing him. He had asked her to do something in a gathering, and she flatly refused and totally humiliated him. And so it was a more sensitive situation than it would have been even in the norm. But she risked her life. If I perish, I perish, you know. And we know the rest of the story. She was able to save her people from murder and was able to see a villain hung on his own gallows. It was just amazing. It's so exciting just to see these. It's like adventure stories, but they all have submission. Sarah followed Abraham through the wilderness. She submitted to him the whole way. And even at times, Abraham, a couple of times, asked, he said, hey, would you pretend to be my sister? Because I think they're going to kill me because you're so beautiful. So could you just pretend to be my sister? And she literally was taken into a couple of different guys' homes and was about to be married to them, but God intervened. You know, she submitted once again. God intervened. He protected them. And she had such a blessed life. She was the mother of many nations alongside Abraham. And just a miracle of a life. And my last, but certainly not least, that I want to talk about is Mary. And I know we know the story of Mary and how the Holy Spirit came and said that you're going to be with child of the Holy Spirit. She was faced with just shame and mockery, you know, in that day and age. I mean, you can imagine, oh, I'm pregnant, but I didn't know a man. Like, this is of the Lord. You know, she had to deal with that her entire life. But her response wasn't, she didn't ask questions. You know, she didn't have a bunch of, like, doubts or irritation in it. She just said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary entrusted herself to the care of God. And that's just what submission is. I entrust myself to the care of God. There's 1,000 situations where we need to be submissive and we need to entrust ourselves to the care of God. Financial, positional, marital, in your career, in your ministry, maybe it's in sickness. I'm going to submit to you, Lord, which means I am entrusting myself to your care. It doesn't just mean I'm just going to float on this raft and let's see where it takes me. That's not what submission is in this. When we submit to God, we are giving ourselves to a caring Father. We're giving ourselves to someone who is very attentive, who doesn't neglect your needs, that sees your heart, that collects your tears in a bottle, who knows when you lie down and when you get up, who watches over your going out and your coming in. We're entrusting ourselves to that God. You know, not a person, not a situation, not an illness, but to our Heavenly Father. I'm going to read a quote to you about Mary. It says, she displayed a willing, humble submission to his redemptive plan, despite the fact that it might cause her great difficulty. Mary not only willingly submitted to God's plan, but when visiting Elizabeth, she burst into a song of praise, declaring the great things God had done for her. She had a disposition and posture of deep gratitude in spite of her less than desirable circumstance. I love Mary's song. You can look it up in Luke, I believe, maybe chapter 4. And it's just a song of praise. She is in such a unique and miraculous position. Her life is going to be hard. It's going to be lonely. It's going to be poor, you know, but it was an honored life to submit to what God had called her to do. Other people that submitted to God were the apostles, the Old and New Testament Bible heroes. They submitted to the leading of God by the Holy Spirit, and they saw the expansion of the kingdom of God. You know, Paul, Barnabas, Peter, Paul, go speak to the Gentiles. You know, Barnabas, hey, go to this murderer. He's a Christian now. I want you to go. Like, but Lord, you know, he kills Christians, and Lord's like, just go do, submit to me. Imagine Barnabas hadn't submitted, you know, but Barnabas went, he obeyed the Lord. And now we have Paul, who's written most of the New Testament, just awesome. Peter, submitting to the Lord. He, you know, he went through a lot of breaking. You know, he was a fiery man, a feisty man, but the Lord broke him and humbled him. And it's just beautiful to see his life, you know, and how he submitted. He was the first person to get up on the day of Pentecost and preach, but he just submitted to the Lord. And ultimately, the ultimate submitter, I don't know if that's a word, but it's Jesus. You know, he is our example. That's why it's such an honor to be a woman to submit. And in many circumstances, we have a lot of situations as women where we do need to submit. But none of us submit in the way that Jesus had to. You know, none of us will ever have to experience what he submitted to. And even he, Jesus, 100% man, 100% God, said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Like, he submitted. It wasn't what he wanted. He didn't look forward to it. He wasn't relishing it in that moment in the garden, but he submitted to it. So as bearers of Christ, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, as bearers of him, is our submission any less? Is it any less important? Is it any less vital to the kingdom of God? You know, when we look at the people and the places that we've been positioned with, will there be any less important fruit and purpose? You know, will there be, as we submit to his will, even when we don't fully understand it, you know, will it be any less significant? If he is the one that dwells in us, does he really want this vessel to be wasted? Does he really want the path that this vessel walks on to just be random, you know, off the cuff? No, like it's very purposeful. It's very significant. Whatever it is we are walking through, it's for a purpose. It's not wasted, you know. As we submit to the God-given heads of our homes, you know, the God-given order, like I believe there's going to be a blessing on that home. There's going to be a husband, as we submit to, will be so much more encouraged and emboldened to be the leader that you always dreamed of if you would just step back and let him be, you know. And there would be children who would understand what a good marriage should look like and would understand, oh, wow, yeah, I don't have to fight. You know, I can just trust God, and he's gonna lead things and order things in the way that they should be. All of that leading towards the expansion of the kingdom of God. You know, we don't worship family. Family doesn't come first. The kingdom of God does. It's not to say you neglect your family, but the Bible does teach us, you know, basically if you love God, it's going to look like you hate your mother, your sister, etc. You know, it's not about family being the church. It's about your family being in the kingdom of God and striving for the kingdom of God, you know. And we submit to positions. We submit to callings that God has given us. You know, we submit to trials. We submit to testings, even rejection. You know, as we submit to less than perfect leadership, we can just trust the Lord that he is working all things together for good, even failures, even your failures and even the failures of other people. Sylvia, I printed my notes because I think my laptop might die, but they're right there. So if it does, I'll just need those. Right here, this one. Thanks. We submit to less than perfect leadership, but you know, so did David. And his leader at the time was Saul, who wanted to kill him, who was chasing him. David was hiding in caves. Oh, it's in the printer. Sorry. You know, Saul was a murderous king, you know, but it just look at David's life. There was a tense where David had, Saul was in a cave, he was using the restroom, and David cut a piece off of his robe. I mean, David could have killed him in that moment and been free of running for his life and free of that, but he submitted because God had put Saul as king. God had put him in that position. So, but, oh well, we'll just figure it out. I also emailed it to you, so we'll figure it out, but. Anyway, God handled it. God took care. You know, David didn't mess with it. And I think when we mess with God's order, that's the only time it all gets messed up. I mean, just look at Eve. You know, we have to trust the Lord. We have to submit to his process. So many times, it's God actually trying to do something in you and not someone else. So many times, other people are difficult. Other people are maybe challenging. But what is it bringing out of you? What is it exposing in you? What is your go-to first feeling? You know, is it bitterness? Is it hatred? Is it anger? You know, well, that's a you problem. You need to let God sanctify that. You know, His will's going to be done in your life, no matter what somebody else might try to say, no matter maybe how flawed they might be. But you are the thing that needs to be paid attention to. You know, the things that come up when you're frustrated, when you are going through genuinely difficult things, you know, that's what the Lord wants you to pay attention to. But Jesus went first. You know, he submitted first. He submitted to heaven. He submitted to becoming flesh. He submitted to a humble and a largely hidden life. It wasn't until the last few years of his life that he really even had a ministry and that he had a following. You know, he just followed the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He was submissive to God, you know, as Jesus, as a man. He submitted to the laws of the land. You know, he submitted to a God that caused him to be poor and without a home and without a family, and that was ultimately abandoned by his closest friends. He submitted to crucifixion, and he submitted to bearing our sins and the crushing of God on the cross. You know, Jesus is the one that went first, and what a beautiful fruit that came of his life. Here we are. I am born again. I am cleansed. I am walking in total freedom because of a Jesus that went first, that submitted. You know, what possibly could I go through that he wouldn't help me? What situation is it that you face that is so hard to submit to, but that this Jesus couldn't anoint and help you to walk through? He did it first. You know, and it's him that dwells in you. It's him that will help you. You are not subject to the whims and failings of man. You know, as a woman, you're not just somehow trapped and boxed in and stuck. You're not, you know, but you are in a place of order, and that order is beautiful and God-given and rich and strong. In Mark 4, 26 to 29, I just want to look there real quick. It's a parable of the seed growing. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." So this is talking about the kingdom of God. It's talking about the Lord growing the harvest. You know, but it says in verse 27, this man that sowed the seed, he sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. You know, you don't have to understand exactly how it's going to work out. You don't exactly need to understand, well, this is frustrating. This isn't how I think it should look. This isn't how things should be ordered. I really think that there's a better way. That's really not important what you think. What's important is that you submit to the God that put you there, and you submit to the order that he's put in place. And then no matter what, whether you're sleeping or awake, God's going to grow his kingdom. Oh, wow. God's going to, well, thank you, Kayla. You're an angel. He's going to work it out. We don't have to worry. So let me read that quote again. What is it to submit? Yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. To yield means to relinquish possession of, that's hard to say, of something, give something up. give up your control, most likely. Submission allows for something or someone else to be the leader. Submission allows that leader to decide what's best. Submission allows the leader to lead in a way that he or she sees fit. That is submission. Entrusting yourself to your gracious God. You are so great. Thank you. It's working. And here's an uncomfortable quote. Sometimes we like to think we are submissive until the leader leads in a way we don't like. Because that's when it's really tested. You know, like, I'm so submissive. You know, Andrew brings me tea in the morning and he gave me a foot rub. Or, you know, this position that I was put in is my favorite. You know, or the things I've been asked to do are really, you know, exactly what I want to do. You know, until they're not. You know, and that's the point where submission is tested. And that's when it's... that's when it's really submission. You know, it's when you're doing the things you really didn't want to do in the way maybe you really didn't want to do them. You know, it's not really what you would have desired to be. You know, why should I be doing this? You know, why can't they be doing this? All of those feelings is, am I going to fight it or am I going to submit to it? Am I going to yield my opinion and my thoughts and my feelings to God and to his order, or am I going to try to take control? Am I going to try to drag it down? Am I going to nag it? Am I going to pester it? You know, it's Esther's response, if I perish, I perish, was her entrusting her life to the care of God, you know, and maybe we will say things like that, you know, maybe we would have to say, if I perish, or if I am mocked, if I am unseen, if I am tired, if I am out of my comfort zone, if I'm not liked by everyone, especially in this day and age, maybe it's in the workplace or just within your family. Oh, just, Lord, I really don't want to stand up for you in this situation. Or, Lord, I really don't want to, you know, speak out in the way you're leading me to, but I'm going to submit to what you're leading me to. You know, if I make less money, if it seems monotonous, you know, if it's lonely, you know, verse 14, Mordecai said, in Esther, sorry, and Mordecai said, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, that's what Mordecai said to Esther, like, who knows, like, this could be the very thing you came for. And I just know without a doubt, whatever it is you're walking through, like, this is what you came for. Like, we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder, like, oh, maybe this is the moment. Like, yes, it is. Like, this is today. You have come to the kingdom of God for today. And you are being asked to submit to his order today. And today is all you need to worry about. And all you need to worry about is the God that you're submitting to. It's a God that cares. It's a God that's purposeful. It's a God that knows nothing is wasted, that he is going to use every situation you walk through, that he is fair, even when other people are not. Submission is always fruitful. This is a quote. Christy said this during the study on authority last year, and I'll just read it to you. It says, the commander has so much more information than we have. We don't always understand the reasons behind his movements, but we must trust that he sees all the moving parts. Matthew 23:11 says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus modeled that. He was the greatest servant of all. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Whatever role you are asked to fulfill is purposeful and valuable to God. You know, he sees where you are. He sees what you're being asked to do, or maybe what you're not being asked to do. But whatever that role is, it's an opportunity to display the image of God and the character of God. You know, whether it be a helper, a mother, a servant, a carer, God never asks us to be anything that he hasn't made himself be first. You know, we talked about it last week. God was our helper. He was an easer. You know, this week we're talking about being submissive. He was submissive, you know, in the ways we've already talked about, submissive to the cross. He was a servant. He washed his disciples' feet in the night he was betrayed, even the one that was going to go betray him. He washed Judas's feet. Submission, it's a part of life, and it's not just a woman thing. It's just being alive. It's following God. There is a place of submission as a woman. There's a place of respect that we have within marriage and within church leadership and all of those things. But I'm mostly just, if you remember anything, it's just that you realize being submissive, it's not a woman's word, and it is not a weak word. In fact, submission is the strongest thing you could probably ever do. It's the most faith you could ever have, because you're not fighting for yourself. You're not getting in your flesh. You're saying, God, I'm going to trust you to handle this, just like Esther did, Jael did, David did, godly men did it, you know. Paul, Barnabas, Peter, we are, as women, we are just doing the same thing. I'm trusting my life to a caring God. And when we don't, we spoil it. And remember Eve, you know, when we hold on to things, we spoil it. When we try to take control, we spoil it. When we push prematurely, we spoil it. If you're trying to take control in your marriage, you may very well get control, but you're going to have a very beat down, discouraged husband who's never going to get to be the leader that God has called him to be in your family. That is always God's order. You may successfully maybe have your way, but you will damage your home. But if you would let go and submit, there will be a beautiful strength and structure that God has designed. It may not happen in a day, but it will happen if you submit that to the Lord and allow it to happen. And I will add, you cannot dictate what a strong leader looks like. A man can be a strong leader and be a quiet man. A man can be a strong leader and be kind of an introvert. A man can be a strong leader and not necessarily have a great big family devotion at nighttime or really very often. A man can be a great leader because he loves Jesus, because he exemplifies hard work, because he serves his wife. He doesn't have to be a preacher. He doesn't have to be some great learned man. He just has to be a man that loves Jesus and loves his family. But if you get in the way, you can really discourage that. As a wife, I just say that as a warning to all of us, because I think especially in this day and age with social media, we can look back, we can, you know, look at like this pictures and all these like family devotionals, and it's just fake. It's not real, you know. And I think we think, oh, well, if we're going to be a good family, then he needs to look like this and he needs to do this and da, da, da. No, that's really not your call. You know, you pray for your husband, you pray for your leaders, and you let the Lord make them what they're supposed to be. It's really not for you to dictate or describe. It is certainly for you to encourage. It is certainly for you to say, hey, I have an idea. I think that it's the Lord. Do you think maybe we could do this as a family? I think this would be great. You know, a good husband is a listener, you know, but ultimately, if you just submit to the Lord, if you submit to that order, God is going to bring blessing into that situation. Obviously, we're not talking about abusive situations. I think we're not going to discuss that. That's over here. You know, if there's abuse in any way, physical, emotional, that's something that can be brought straight to church leadership. Nobody's talking about that. We're not saying subject yourself to grave danger. You know, that is something you would go straight to church leadership and talk about. Hey, this is happening. Let's address this. How can we walk through this? What are the next steps? You know, but we're talking about just in general, like in the context of marriage. But when we fight back in our own flesh, no matter what the context is, a job, a ministry, just any kind of a situation, we spoil it. We can corrupt the Lord's plan. We can hinder his spirit and really even hinder his sanctification in our own life. So be aware of your inherent struggle with submission. It's there in the curse. You know, her desire is going to be for you. You know, at the time, Adam was Eve's only earthly authority for her to struggle with. And now here today, you know, we are just like her. You know, and it may not necessarily just be marriage authority. It could be any authority, you know, just even the authority of God in your life and submitting to that. We have an inherent struggle with authority, but there is a Holy Spirit that we all have access to that can indwell us and give us the power and the grace at times, even in difficult situations, to just submit. It doesn't mean that we understand that how it's going to work out. It doesn't mean that it feels good, but he can give us the grace to do it. To man, to leadership, authority, circumstances, whatever it is. There's a quote, or there's a song, I don't know if you've seen it, it's in My Fair Lady, and Rex Harrison, he kind of like speaks, and he says, why can't a woman be more like a man? And he's like singing, and like, women are like this, but men are like that. And, you know, I just thought of that quote as I was doing this. And a woman, she can't be more like a man because she was made equal to man, alongside man, to reflect the image of God. You know, we both, as men and women, we reflect different aspects of the image of God. You know, both men and women are called to be submissive. Both men and women are going to have to be submissive in many similar ways and in very different ways. But we don't have to fight to be something that God hasn't made us to be. That would ruin what he's created. That would ruin the image that we are supposed to represent. We're made in his image. We're made to reflect his character. We're made very specially, very purposefully. And as in many ways, it's an honor to get to represent the submission of Christ. It's an honor in many contexts to get to be that to someone else, to say, I submit to you. I want to help you. I want to see the work of God come through my life in this circumstance without my hands touching it. I want to have faith that even though I don't get to have the ultimate say-so in this circumstance, I know the God that does have the ultimate say-so, even over every person, you know, that you might face with, or every circumstances. I know that God, and I know him intimately over and over again, and I know his character. We get that honor. We get to represent Christ and his submission, and we get the honor of seeing him work our situations out. You know, it's easier. I'm not going to say it's easy, but I believe it's easy to submit when you realize who your Heavenly Father is. And I think that's the biggest hindrance to submitting in any capacity, is when you actually just don't know your Father, when you don't know your God. So if it is something you struggle with, I would just say ask him to show you who he is, because he's a good Father. And I know we could all bring that maybe in here. I know there's background that affects the way we view God, you know, whether it be a father figure or a relationship we've been in, or just either a bad father or no father at all, you know, whatever it is. But you can ask him to make himself known to you, and he will, and he is good, and he is faithful, and he is very trustworthy. So, amen. Let's just pray. Lord God, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the honor of submitting to you. We thank you that we are safe in you. We are free in you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that no matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstance, God, you are faithful, that you have authority, that you work all things together for good. You do things beyond what we could ever think or imagine. Lord, thank you, God, for what you have planned, even for each woman that is here. Thank you, Father, for each life that you value, that is precious in your sight, Lord. And we do thank you, God, for the order that we get to live in. Thank you that there is order and it's not disorder. Thank you for the marriage set up, Lord. Thank you for the structure of the church, Lord. Thank you for the foundation of the Bible that teaches us how to live and how to navigate so many different situations, Lord. We thank you, God. We're not just walking around blindly, Lord. We have an order to follow, and it always works because you made it, Lord. We just thank you. We praise you. I pray you just protect everybody as they go home and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.